Former Post-Dispatch columnist turned novelist Elaine Veitz is best known for her Dead End Job and Josie Marcus Mystery Shopper series. She sat down with contributor Steve Potter to talk about her two latest books.
Elaine Veitz, you have Brainstorm, which is going to be out August the 2nd. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later, but it's really personal in a couple of different ways for you, isn't it?
Very personal. It's about my struggle with brain surgery and six strokes and a coma, but it's also a good mystery.
I read that you said you're going back to the dark side.
I am. I've been writing cozies and lighthearted traditional mysteries, but I started writing dark mysteries set in St. Louis, and so I want to go back.
All right, I'll ask you about that later.
Okay.
First, though, The Art of Murder is the latest in your dead-end job mysteries, and as many people know, you've actually worked a lot of those dead-end jobs. How did all that really begin?
That really began when I was working dead-end jobs for real. I was living in South Florida, and I'd been writing mysteries for Bantam Dell, and I had a 5-book contract. And then all of a sudden, Random House bought Bantam Dell, and my contract was over. The series was killed. My husband was in the hospital with stage 3 cancer. He's recovered. And we were being audited by the IRS. So it was a stellar year.
Wow.
I was trying to pay the rent. And so I went to work at a bookstore. And I discovered that, you know, when you're a columnist for the Post-Dispatch, which I used to be.
For a long time.
Right. People treat you a lot more different.
You mean better?
Much better than when you're a clerk barely making minimum wage.
Yeah.
And the stories were so weird. We had a woman who came in one time and she said, "There's a naked lady in the bathroom." And I said, "Okay." So we looked at the manager and we said, "This is why you make the big bucks." And she went back there and there was a naked lady and she was shaving her legs. And the naked lady goes, "The sun is my father. The moon is my mother." And the manager goes, "Honey, this ain't no family reunion. Get your clothes on and get out." And I thought, this is a book. This is really a book.
Josie Marcus is a series you do, too, and she's a mystery shopper. I know you did that.
Yes,
right?
I did. I did 10 Josie Marcus books. It was supposed to be a 3-book contract. And they kept renewing the contract. And finally, I was about to start book 11, and I said to my agent, "I've done everything I can with Josie. It's a cozy. There's a lot of constraints. I couldn't kill her husband. I couldn't kill her daughter." All these bloodthirsty thoughts. Certainly couldn't kill the cat. I said, "I've gone as far as I can. Can I give the money back?" You never say those words to agents. They get very upset.
My eyes are like really open right now.
Yeah, well, he was saying things that can't be said on the radio, but the general idea was no. And so he rolled it into another dead-end job contract.
Well, Josie lived in Maplewood. Helen Hawthorne, though, who is what The Art of Murder centers around, she used to live in St. Louis. She was married and ended an ugly divorce, and she just sort of took off kind of in hiding to Florida where she worked some of these dead-end jobs.
Right. What happened was that, and this was based on what happened to a friend of mine, the court gave her worthless husband 1/2 of all of her future income. Now, my friend complied with the court, but Helen decided no. So she threw her ring in the Mississippi River and took off and wound up in South Florida, where she worked dead-end jobs for cash under the table.
She was cleaning hotel rooms.
She cleaned hotel rooms. She worked as a telemarketer. She was a yacht stewardess. She worked at a wedding shop.
Right. Well, she met a guy named Phil. Are they still together?
They're not only together, they're married and they're partners.
Oh, they're married.
They're married, yes.
Well, he was like a private detective and she was helping him on some of his cases.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they are co-owners of Coronado Investigations, which is a detective agency in South Florida.
Are they still living in that hotel?
They are still living in the Coronado Tropic Apartments, and that's also where their offices are.
But didn't they have like separate rooms at one point?
They still have separate apartments. These are these little Florida places. And they're used to being independent, and they still keep their little one-bedroom apartments. And, you know, occasionally Phil likes to play loud music, Helen likes to read, and they retreat to where they're going.
The Art of Murder. Would you mind reading that first couple of paragraphs for me?
Okay. "Yep, his hand was on the blonde's bottom. Helen Hawthorne looked again. She wasn't imagining it. The lad in the lederhosen was definitely lecherous. His hand disappeared under her skirt, and the cute blonde in the dirndl was smiling. This painting of rowdy rustics was next to Frederick Clay Bartlett's studio at the Bonnet House Museum. Bartlett was a respected artist who'd studied art in Munich and Paris, a man whose rapturous stained glass intimidated even Louis Comfort Tymphany. But he painted playful hanky-panky, too.
That's Elaine Vietz from Chapter 1, The Art of Murder. So Helen's with her friend right now. Is it a new friend, Marjorie?
Marjorie is her landlady.
Ah.
And they have been longtime friends. And Marjorie's 76. She's kind of a mother figure for Helen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the Bonnet House Museum. So who's Frederick Clay Bartlett?
Frederick Clay Bartlett is a real artist. And he was a very big deal in the 1880s, 1890s, until he died about 1950. And he and his...
All this is real.
All this is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and his third wife, Evelyn Bartlett, wound up having this home in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. They had 36 gorgeous acres right on the ocean. And he built his idea of a Caribbean plantation house, which was beautiful. Evelyn loved animals. There still are some of her squirrel monkeys in the trees. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I don't like most rich people's mansions.
Why?
Well, to me, I'm looking at a lot of old furniture. And not only that, but they've probably robbed my grandparents to get that money, you know. So why should I pay $20 to look at it?
Yeah.
But these people were different. Their houses looked like fun, and I could actually live there.
You brought some photographs and shared with me, and it's a beautiful, opulent sort of place.
It is. All of the wrought iron is from New Orleans. There's a pond with swans. It was their dream house.
Well, Elaine, I love the way you use words, because this is how you describe the Bonnet House Museum. And I quote, "Tucked next to trashy tourist shops and grim gray hotels that Helen thought looked like pharaoh's tombs, expensive and dead."
That's it. It's right in downtown Lauderdale. It's this little oasis of old Florida.
Oh, wow. All right. So Helen Hawthorne, still living in the hotel. She's married now, doing the private detective stuff. Poolside seems to come up a lot. I mean, a lot of things happen around the pool when Helen's there. Some of her friends are there talking. It's where they meet.
It is. And when I first lived in South Florida, I lived in a place very similar to the Coronado. And we would have the sunset salute. Everybody would gather after work. We'd drink. We'd watch the sunset. We'd slap mosquitoes and talk about our day. And so I carried that over into Helen's day.
At some point, though, Phil does something, implement some sort of plan. I'm not sure what it is. And Helen doesn't know about it. That causes some friction.
Yes.
What can you tell me about that?
Well, what he does, he's trying to catch a gold thief. And this particular gold thief is only robbing the top floors of condos.
Is that what you call a gold ghost?
It's the gold ghost,
the gold
right.
ghost, right.
So it's the 19th and 20th floors are being broken into. The security cameras aren't catching it. The guards aren't catching it. No one can find out. So Phil gets this idea to take their neighbor, who's Cuban, Marcos, and he dresses Marcos up as a Saudi prince in a costume he gets from the shop. And it's incredibly corny. And then he hires a Rolls Royce, and he says that this is a prince and that he has a whole lot of gold. And he sets this trap to try to catch the gold ghost. And he doesn't tell Helen, who is furious about the whole thing.
Who are Clay and Sissy?
Clay and Sissy are... Clay is one of the suspects in the murder. There's actually two plot lines here.
Mm-hmm.
A really excellent artist, young artist named Annabelle Lee Griffin, is poisoned, and they're not sure whether the poison is suicide or whether it's actually murder. Clay is her husband, and he's another artist. He's not as successful, and so they wonder if he's a killer. Sissy is her best friend, but she urged Annabelle to drink the tea that killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like five or six suspects, and those are two of them.
And Annabelle's the artist.
Yeah, yeah, Annabelle's the artist. Fort Lauderdale has a very, very active art scene.
Hmm. There's something about a nude portrait.
Yes, there is a nude portrait. And the nude portrait...
Is it scandalous?
Well, it's art. But yes, it's scandalous because it's possible that... It's a nude portrait of a woman who is a fiancée of another woman who runs a lawn service in Fort Lauderdale. But she also had an affair with Annabelle, the murder victim.
Ah.
And so the question is the woman who ran the lawn service, did she murder Annabelle when she saw the portrait and discovered that Annabelle, who was a very free spirit, might have had an affair with this woman?
Hmm. Well, we don't want to give away the ending. What would you like to say to just sort of tie this up?
All right. To tie it up, the book has a car chase. I love car chases. But Helen only drives a four-cylinder peachy cruiser. So we had a car chase in a very rich neighborhood with a lot of speed bumps. So
and a PT cruiser.
And, right. So even though there's a sports car, it can only go so far for about 20 feet, and then it has to stop. And they wind up hitting a yacht. It's that kind of neighborhood where you dock your yacht out the backyard.
Right, right.
So read the book. It's fun.
That's The Art of Murder, A Dead-End Job Mystery by Elaine Veitz. That's out now.
Yes.
All right. Brainstorm is coming out the first week of August, and this is a whole new series for you.
It's a new series, and it's darker than my other books.
Right. We were talking earlier, I don't remember now how long it's been, 4 years maybe? When did you have your stroke?
I actually had my stroke 8 years ago.
Oh, time flies, sorry. 8 years ago, really? Wow.
8 years ago.
So you're pulling on a lot of your own experiences in this. Was this hard for you to do? Because that had to have been a very challenging, upsetting time in your life for you.
It was very hard for me because I had to live what happened. And what happened was that I went to one of the top 50 hospitals in the United States with severe headaches and other symptoms, and the neurologist on call said, "You're too young and fit to have a stroke." And he told me to come back on Wednesday for a PET scan. And for me, Wednesday never happened. My husband found me. I had 6 strokes. I needed brain surgery. I was in a coma for a week. I was 3 months in the hospital.
And then after you got out of the hospital, how long before you sort of felt normal?
It took me 4 years to recover. I had to learn everything all over again.
Did you always have hope? Did you always feel you were getting better? Or did sometimes you weren't sure?
Sometimes I wasn't sure. And that's why writing that book was so hard, because often I was angry. I was misdiagnosed and couldn't do anything about it. And the man who misdiagnosed me was lauded as this great, you know, doctor and public figure. And I wanted to say, no, he's not. He nearly killed me. But I was saved by a really, really good brain surgeon. And he was an excellent doctor because the ER doctor told my husband I'd be dead by morning. And I would have been if it had been anyone but this doctor who saved me. And he said, no, she'll recover. And my husband said, is she going to be able to write? And the doctor said, I think so. So they did the surgery. But in the meantime, word had gotten out that I was dead.
Really?
In the mystery community. So later on, I got to read my obituary.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because the people that I knew disliked me were the first ones to get online and go, Elaine is such a great talent. The world won't be the same without her.
At least you can laugh about it.
Yeah.
You seem like you're 100% to me. I hope you are.
I am 100% and lucky.
So Brainstorm, it's a new series, a new character, a woman by the name of Angela Richman, and she's a death investigator. Is that a real job title?
It's a real title. And a death investigator actually was started right here in St. Louis at St. Louis University.
You actually took a course there as part of getting ready to write this book. Tell me about that.
Yes, and it was fascinating. Death investigators were started in, I believe it was 1978, and Mary Fran Ernst was one of the first. And they are hired by the medical examiner's office. There was a shortage of pathologists then. And so at a crime scene or an unattended death, if the police are there, but the death investigator is in charge of the body. And the death investigator photographs the body, measures the wounds, checks everything, and notifies the clothes, notifies, you know, any scratches. They are basically in charge of delivering the body with the evidence to the medical examiner. And the course I took was developed by St. Louis University. It's world famous. I took it last January. It's a 2-credit college course.
Hmm.
It's an amazing course. People came from as far away as Australia for that course. You get some of the best lecturers in town.
Well, so the character, Angela Richman, like you, at some point suffered some strokes.
She had strokes.
And that comes into play in the way that she's doing her job. I guess she's taking drugs for different symptoms and things, so she has some issues going on. What's happening to her?
Well, she's had these strokes, and like me, she had hallucinations. And I would have conversations with non-existent people, and she does too. But the brain surgeon who saves her in this book is accused of murdering the doctor who misdiagnosed her. I did kill.
Didn't you just refer to that?
I did kill the guy who misdiagnosed me.
One way or another, you did.
Yes, yeah. He's dead. Unfortunately, not in real life.
Oh.
But that's how I used it. And so she was the ultimate unreliable narrator. Nobody trusted her because she said such off-the-wall things to people who didn't exist.
Yeah, because she even wonders herself, am I looking at things, am I thinking straight, basically, is what she's worried about.
And a lot of times she isn't. And so she has to try to save the man who saved her. This book is set in a mythical place called Shoto County.
Yeah, I noticed that there's Shoto County, and then there's, I think you have a character but with the name Gravoy or something.
Porter Gravoy.
Yeah.
It's sort of West County, but not really. So I can tell a lot of stories from when I was a reporter.
In all of your other mysteries, they're funny. I mean, they were funny parts at least. Not so in this?
This is funny. There's a funny pathologist, and her name is Katie. And she's based on a pathologist that I've known for years and years. And so she's funny. Angela is funny. It's not funny in the way the dead-end jobs are. It's more black humor.
So this is the first. I think you've already worked, or maybe you're done the second one?
I'm working on the second one now. It's due in November. I should be home writing it instead of talking to you.
You're not regretting that, are you?
I'm always glad to talk to you.
Hey, this is the highlight of your trip. Didn't you lose your luggage on the way here?
I did. But Southwest did find it, bless their hearts.
Good. What will your fans be surprised about when they read this new series, Brainstorm, the first one of the new series? What's going to surprise them the most?
I think what's going to surprise them the most is that this is a forensics-heavy book, and it's sort of like Forensic Files without the commercials, and it's new characters. I think they'll like Angela. And Angela, she's the daughter of servants who works for the 1%. I think people will enjoy that contrast.
Is there a little Elaine Veitz in Angela?
There could be. I mean, where the workers live in Shoto County is called Toonerville. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to live off Christopher Drive, and she had a little house there. And I met a very, very wealthy man who lived in that area. And I said, my grandma lived there. And I told him where, and he goes, oh, yes, we call those the Toonerville people.
Elaine, thank you for seeing us today.
Well, thank you.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Elaine Veitz about her two latest books, The Art of Murder and Brainstorm, which will be released on August 2nd. More information is available at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.